Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studio. This is BizNews Daybreak for Thursday, the 8th of January, 2026. I'm Alec Hogg. Here's the context you need to win the day. In our overnight global news update, the Trump administration has ramped up its enforcement actions against Venezuelan oil, seizing a Russian-flagged tanker in the North Atlantic and a second vessel in the Caribbean. The U.S. president is also taking a hard line on local defense contractors, threatening to block dividends and share buybacks by these companies. Quite a swing, specifically at the major contractor Raytheon. Here's Doug Christner from Bloomberg.
U.S. forces seized a Russian-flagged oil tanker in the North Atlantic after a weeks-long pursuit across the Atlantic Ocean, and a second vessel was apprehended near the Caribbean Sea. These moves were described as enforcement actions tied to the blockade of Venezuelan oil exports. Separately, the Trump administration said the U.S. will seek to control Venezuelan oil sales indefinitely. Today, Energy Secretary Chris Wright told a Goldman Sachs conference sales would initially come from crude held in storage and later from fresh oil production.
The upside there is huge, but of course, this is development. This takes time. This takes investment. But I think we could get several hundred thousand barrels a day of additional production in a short to medium term if the conditions are there for just small capital deployments.
That is Energy Secretary Chris Wright speaking at a Goldman Sachs energy conference in Miami. Now, the White House indicated the U.S. has already begun marketing the crude oil, and we are told Chevron is in talks with the U.S. on expanding its license in Venezuela. At the same time, President Trump said on Truth Social that Venezuela will use the proceeds of these oil sales to purchase American agricultural products and American-made medicine. Also today, the president said he will not permit defense companies to issue dividends or buy back stock. Trump cited excessive pay packages for executives, as well as unsatisfactory maintenance and delivery of military equipment. Here is Palmer Luckey, founder of Anduril.
Big picture, if these companies were doing really well, and if they were living up to their end of the bargain, I don't think you would see any action from Trump or others on this. It's really a reflection of how many problems we have with our defense industrial base.
That is Palmer Luckey, founder at Anduril, speaking to Bloomberg at the CES in Las Vegas. Incidentally, shares in the major defense contractors dropped. Then, after the bell, President Trump threatened to cut ties with Raytheon. Trump said either Raytheon steps up and begins investing in more upfront investments like plants and equipment, or the company will no longer be doing business with the Department of Defense.
Raytheon's share price dropped 2.5% on Wall Street during the trading session, but it bounced back in after-hours trade. Bitcoin and the Rand also eased back overnight. Crypto's now at $91,000 and the Rand $16.45. The comparisons were around $93,000 and $16.30. It just shows that the volatility certainly has started off on the front foot in this new year. In the BizNews portfolios overnight, a generally solid session for both local and international stocks. Google's 2.5% gain was a bright spot in a steady U.S. market, while Palantir's 1% increase took it back above $180. A similar rise in Nvidia, which we did sell out of the portfolio, took the world's most valuable stock to just under $190 a share. Doesn't seem like it's getting anything to stop that rise at the moment. On the JSE, the resources index fell sharply yesterday. It pulled the overall index down about 2/3%. Our stocks, as mentioned earlier, rose against the general trend. Orion, again, the highlight, picking up another 10%. More on that later. There were also solid gains for most of the others in the Shift and Ricardo portfolios. Also on local news front, well, it's not often that the resort town of Hermanus, which is where we hold the BizNews conference, which will be in March this year. Get your ticket if you haven't got one yet. They're filling up fast. It doesn't often get a mention on the Stock Exchange News Service, but that happened yesterday. HCI, a stock much beloved by the BizNews tribe. We brought it in. It's done well. Issued a voluntary statement on Sens announcing that it has agreed to sell its 65% stake in Hermanus's dominant shopping centre, the Whale Coast Village Mall in Sandby, for 600 million rand. The deal values the centre's overall value at a hefty 925 million rand. HCI management has a clear plan for the cash. The first priority is to settle approximately 328 million in debt that's held by the subsidiary that actually did the sale. So clearly it's not getting the full 600 into the coffers. The remaining funds, around 300 million, will be distributed to shareholders of the subsidiary, which means that's going to be injecting fresh liquidity back into HCI, which is on a mission to reduce its debt. The share price ended slightly higher yesterday. Also, late yesterday afternoon, an announcement from ASP Isotopes saying that it had officially closed its acquisition of Free State-based helium mining operation Renergen. The deal creates a potential global powerhouse in helium and isotopes, targeting high-growth industries like semiconductors and quantum computing. The combined group is set to access $750 million in funding from the U.S. government and Standard Bank, and that'll be used to expand the Virginia Gas Project. Renergen CEO Stefano Morani will join the new executive team at ASP Isotopes. Also on the local front, if you thought South African regulators were toothless, think again. The Takeover Regulation Panel has slammed Novus Holdings and its chairman, Adrian Zettler, for what it calls conscious lying during the Mustek takeover. The ruling shows that, and the ruling was 119 pages, that while he was claiming independence, Zettler and his broker, Numis Capital, were actually operating from not just the same office, but the same desk, literally sharing it at Suite 704, which is in Regent Road in Seapoint. The penalty for this deception, Novus is being forced to hike its offer by 18% to 15 Rand 41 per Mustek share. That's a massive 55 million additional cost, apparently, for trying to game the system. Novus has appealed the hearing, but if you read through that 119-page report, and we've got quite a detailed statement on BizNews and the report itself is on Sens, you'll see that they've got a mountain to climb to try and turn around the mountain of evidence that is there against them, including emails. It does seem to be the issue that one needs to be very careful of now. Essentially what happened in this case was that the broker, who was supposed to be acting independently, was sending updates to both the CFO of Novus and privately to Zettler and his private email account. Ouch. Well, yesterday we highlighted the price surge by developing copper miner Orion Minerals. It was up from 22 cents to 27 cents. And then in yesterday's trade, it got a little bit further to 30 cents. And that means shareholders have seen a near 36% return this week. It is a stock in the BizNews Ricardo portfolio. So during Mining Web Weekly, which was recorded yesterday afternoon, I asked our resources guru, Peter Major, to just explain what Orion's about and what the heck is happening that is making BizNews tribe members so excited.
The jump is, maybe it's like snow falling on the roof. It just keeps falling until the roof eventually caves in. It's like Alexander the Great invading Persia, and he had to bring his siege engines up to the castle walls. And you beat and beat for weeks, and you saw no indent at all. You thought you're wasting your time. But he knew from experience, just keep beating and beating, and once the crack's there, it goes quick. You blow the trumpets, get the men ready. Now it's going quick. Now, Orion's told us what their strategy is for years. They've been working towards their Alec, but infinitesimally, the little bit of money they were raising, and they've raised a lot of money, actually. They've raised 1 billion rand in 5 years. And people are starting to say, this is looking like a lifestyle company. You don't seem to be getting any closer to production. You're now the biggest landowner of all the mining companies in Africa. You're like a kid in a candy store with a bunch of money. You got too many properties. You got copper properties. You got nickel properties. You got zinc properties. You got great mines at O'Keeppe that are proven copper producers. You got a fantastic ore body at Prieska that's been drilled to kingdom come. Get mining, guys. But there was no big sign that they were going to get mining. They kept redoing feasibility studies and they kept acquiring more properties. Well, finally, the board got the message. And literally a year ago, 11 months ago to the date, about the time of the Indaba, they said, we're making big changes here. We need to raise more money. The company's run out, but this money is going towards producing. This money's going to allow us to find producers, to find mine managers with proven production histories. They've got that at Tony Lennox, who was at Palabora, biggest copper mine in Southern Africa. Tony's brought on a few people he knows and trusts, also big copper miners. They should be able to do Prieska in their sleep. It's less than half as deep as Palabora. And it's got a beautiful, fat, solid ore body at the bottom of it, 30 million tons plus, wide, long, high. And the copper price has helped, Alec. So Tony says, I put my name on the block. I will be producing concentrate by Christmas 2026. The pressure's on him. But even better than the high copper price, which is fabulous, you know, copper's gone from barely 9,000 to 13,000. That means he doesn't need as much money to get the mine going. And in comes Glencore, who we know likes commodities, and they can't get enough commodities for that giant engine. They're having to fund mines. And then that locks in their commodity. So Glencore has come in and they have offered $250 million, which is more than enough to build the mine and the mill and get production going. Triple Flags, an American streaming company, has offered $75 million for all the gold and the silver that's going to come out of that as a byproduct. So now you got $250 million from Glencore, $75 million from Triple Flag, and the IDC's in there. They've committed their percentage of the equity, and they said, we're very happy to give debt funding. So there's no excuse now. Orion's got more than enough money. They got to finalize the paperwork with Glencore, but Glencore wants it. And they're a known big player. It's going through. They will be producing rock and hopefully concentrate by December.
We're back to the global scene now. And the FT News briefing has got this very incisive report for us on the new wave of crackdowns that have been launched by Venezuela's government after the U.S. captured Nicolas Maduro. Here's our partners at the Financial Times.
Things in Venezuela are deteriorating in the days after the U.S. ousted President Nicolas Maduro. The Venezuelan government is being temporarily led by Maduro's vice president, and the government's been cracking down on any show of support for the authoritarian leader's removal. Michael Stott is the FT's Latin America editor, and he joins me now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Mark.
So, Michael, what is the situation on the ground like now?
I'd say there's a sort of tense calm, Mark, at the moment in Caracas. It's maybe only half the level of normal activity. People are still very frightened to go out and about in their business. They were obviously very scared by the U.S. strikes on Saturday night, but they're also scared by the repression that's come afterwards. So they're quite uncertain about what's going to come next. And then you've got the regime's security forces deployed, some of these gun-toting, motorcycle-riding paramilitaries who are going around intimidating people. So it's a very dark mood, really, at the moment.
And as I mentioned, this is under Delcy Rodriguez, Maduro's former deputy, and now the country's new leader. There's this big crackdown on journalists in Caracas and Venezuela more broadly. Is there a reliable source of information flowing from the country, given how large this crackdown is?
It's difficult to get a full picture of what's going on, Mark, not least because Venezuelan media heavily controlled by the government. I was talking to someone who works in Venezuelan media the other day, and he told me that state television is extraordinary. They're barely referring to anything that's happening. They're sort of pretending that almost nothing has happened. And journalists are very constrained in what they can do. Foreign correspondents based outside the country are not able to enter at the moment. So there's only very limited information, and there's a lot of reliance on what's being posted on social media and on calling contacts and sources inside the country to try to piece together a picture of what's going on.
What has been the international response to this crackdown in Venezuela?
I think there's dismay and some disbelief, Mark, because one hoped that when Maduro was overthrown, it would usher in a new era for Venezuela, which would be one in which there were more freedoms, there was some kind of transition, there was some talk of greater democracy. And at the moment, it is, of course, only a few days after, but at the moment, what we're seeing is a renewed repression, no talk of elections, no talk of freedoms, quite the opposite, in fact. There was this emergency decree from the new government on Sunday night, published on Monday, which threatened anybody who celebrated Maduro's ouster. Security forces checking people's WhatsApp messages, people frantically deleting them to not fall foul of that. So I think internationally and abroad, there's a lot of dismay that so far Maduro's ouster has not led to any kind of new dawn at all. It's led just to another wave of repression and a regime that looks rather like the one that was there before.
And now you have the edge. For the full interviews and the details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.